Adam Peacock, thanks for joining us on Outside90.com for a Premier League preview chat. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, good, no problems.
So it's that time of the year again, mate. We'll start at the top with the reigning champions, Chelsea. Simply put, are they the team to beat again in your eyes?
Oh, they have to be. The way that they defended last year, and they haven't changed a hell of a lot. I mean, Mourinho's come out and he needs one more defender, and that will happen because it's Chelsea and they've got lots of money, so they can go out and do it. But I think what's been totally underestimated with Chelsea, it has been mentioned towards the middle part of the last season when they looked like they were going to run away with it, which the fact that he's been able to turn over his squad without going ballistic in terms of spending money, it's just quite remarkable the choices that he's made, Mourinho, since he's come back to the club. Just about every one of them has been the right move. Now, he's been pretty prudent so far this off-season. He's brought in Falcao, obviously, and Begovic as the backup goalkeeper. So he obviously knows he's got near enough to the squad that he really needs. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of recycling goes on towards the end of the transfer window. But, yeah, they're the team to beat again because they're just so hard to beat.
Do you think they have an Achilles heel at the moment? A lot of people spoke about the Community Shield and like Remy and Ramadan Falcao, they actually, you know, put in stinkers, let's be honest, in those 45 minutes that they had. Should we read into that too much? Because Diego Costa's obviously got a history with dodgy hamstrings. If he goes down, do you think that's potentially an area that other teams can capitalise on?
Yeah, maybe if Costa cops a long-term injury, but I think as backups, Remy and Falcao are pretty damn good. So Mourinho, I read an article about the fact of why would he go out and get Falcao? He looks like another Torres. But we've done so much analysis on this guy and where he's at, where he could be at in another 12 months' time after that huge knee operation that he had, which I think he might have rushed to try and get back for Colombia's World Cup. Obviously, it didn't pay off if he didn't. But he just looked like a guy totally out of nick last season or two-goal. Was it 4 goals in 26 or something like that for Manchester United? That summed it up. So Mourinho, he wouldn't do something like this, I think, and it is his choice. It's not as if it's like a Shevchenko from a few years ago when he's had it bumped on his doorstep by Abramovich. He's gone out and got Falcao. So he's obviously seen something that the rest of us haven't. And who's to disagree with the great man that he'll get it wrong this time around? But I think that the overall... It's not an over-reliance because you want to rely on a player like Eden Hazard because he is so good. But if something happens to him, you just wonder what happens to creativity for Chelsea over a sustained period. Not to say that they don't have other players that can step up, but Hazard was so good for them last season. If that is taken away, that certainly brings them way back to the field.
And we'll switch the focus from Chelsea to Manchester United. A lot of hype around them in the off-season. They've, again, gone on a spending spree. Are you in the camp that believes they have a genuine chance of challenging for the title again?
Yeah, I am, actually. Yeah, I think they can. A few things have to go right for them. Those players that they've brought in not only have to acclimatise really quickly, but not get to, like, November, December and go, oh, you know, yeah, because it is the most physical, demanding league in the world. So we'll wait and see. I mean, a few people are into Schweinsteiger about him being, and one of them was Guardiola coming out and saying that he, in the last 3 years, he hasn't been fit enough. Or Henry Winter came back and said, well, the guy's won a champion. He's been an integral part of a Champions League and a World Cup winning squad. So jumping can't do that.
Yeah, it's true.
We'll wait and see. Schneiderlin, is he one of those... Ricky Lambert type signings from last season that graduate from Southampton, and then you get to a big club, and then, with all due respect to Southampton, you and I mate, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then what? So we'll wait and see with him. But and Adam Lallana as well at Liverpool, he seemed to struggle a bit, which was odd because I rate Lallana so highly. But I think they can challenge because they've bought very well and they've bought for now. They haven't bought for tomorrow. So I think they're right up there.
United fans would be loving to hear the optimism. Raheem Sterling, Adam, it'd be remiss of me not to speak about this young man. Now, he made an unceremonious exit from Liverpool. Is this a classic case of the player power now in the modern game? And do you see it as a blight? How do you read the situation?
No, well, there's no point in looking at it as a blight because it's a fact. And if you want to look at it as a blight, well, you're going to have to put up with a lot of disappointment. That's true. And you're going to be disappointed a lot over the next few decades of watching football, and it's here to stay, I think, with the money that's involved. Yeah, it is like that. Once a big club gets wind of the fact that a player's looking around and comes in for him, or a bigger club than the one that he's at, I should say, I think, it's going to continue to happen. And, I mean, let's face it, there's only two, maybe three clubs in the world that can classify themselves as definite non-sellers, and that's Real Madrid, Barcelona, and maybe one other out of a Bayern Munich or a Manchester City or a Chelsea. But even then, if those three clubs that I just mentioned, if a club like Real Madrid or Barcelona comes in for one of their great players, invariably the player's going to go. So it's the big pyramid scheme, and clubs like Liverpool and Manchester City fit into that, and obviously Raheem Sterling sees it as a step forward. It's not totally cut and dry that Manchester City are going to finish above Liverpool this season. I mean, Manchester City, I'm not totally convinced about them, given the end of last season that they had, and the fact that they got Raheem Sterling and Fabian Delph. That's about it in the off-season as ready-made Premier League footballers, and they're going to only have Sterling because Delph's done his ACL and he's gone for the season. So a lot of question marks about Manchester City, I'd say.
Okay, and Arsenal, Adam, Wenger finally got one over Mourinho, albeit in the Community Shield. Is it finally time at long last that Gunners supporters can approach this season with the optimism of potentially shaking the Pretenders tag and pushing Chelsea all the way come May?
Well, they had that last season. It's exactly that situation as last season, but I do agree with them in a sense that they seemed a little more, use that word again, but in a different context, seasoned for the season ahead with Arsenal. And Mesut Ozil, I think, is going to have a big season. He's in my fantasy team because I think he'll appreciate the fact that he had a rest and no World Cup. So that'll help him. Alexis Sanchez have done the right thing with him, not rushing him back after the Copa America. All things point towards, and they finally got that central defender. He came in January last year, Gabriel, who they bought out of the Spanish league. Point towards the fact that Arsenal are going to have as good a season as they've had in the past 10 years. Whether or not that's enough to finish with the title, we'll wait and see. And sure and certain, that first meeting between Arsenal and Chelsea, there'll be reminders of the fact that Wenger hasn't beaten Mourinho in the league forever in the Premier League, because let's face it, the Community Shield is a glorified trial. So that still hangs above their head, and they will have to do it at some point this season. If they are with it, I'd be very surprised, put it this way, if they don't beat Chelsea and win the title. I'd be amazed if they don't beat them over those two matches that they played this season. So, but they're a massive chance. I think they are the closest to Chelsea. I'd probably favour them over the two Manchester clubs to be the main title challengers.
Okay, so it sounds like you've got a top three going on there. Are you saying that Liverpool potentially have a chance to maybe pip a Manchester City for fourth place?
Yeah, it all depends on Christian Benteke. I think if he can score 25 goals in the league, they can do anything. They can get Sturridge back on and playing, get two-thirds of the season out of Sturridge. I don't know how they do that, given his injury concerns of last season. I think they can, and Liverpool fans are going to look at it and go, well, what are you talking about? We've got no Steven Gerrard. So the spine of our midfield gone, and defensively we still look a little suspect. Attacking-wise, if Firmino and also Coutinho combine and they create havoc, and they've got Benteke up front, you've got Sturridge, that's potent if they get it right. There's a lot of questions. A lot of things have to happen in the first 6 months of the season to convince a lot of people if Liverpool are going to challenge, but it can happen. That's what I'm saying. It's a good opportunity for it to happen as opposed to last year when they seemed to buy a little more haphazardly. This year they've spent about the same amount of money, but Benteke, I think, he's the big difference. He's proven in the Premier League, if he's fit, he scores goals, and he's playing in a much better side than he was at Aston Villa. So, yeah, he could cause some real havoc.
That's music to the Reds' ears, mate. And now moving on to your beloved Newcastle. They survived by the skin of their teeth last season. With Don Carver out and Steve McClaren in, can the Geordies breathe a little easier this time around?
Yeah, because John Carver's not a manager. He's a coach. Best coach in England, according to him. But he's a coach, and there's a big difference. And it just looked like that dressing room was all over the shop in the second half of last season. So Steve McClaren, I'm not saying he's the wizard that'll fix all, but they've given themselves a chance finally, and they're spending some money, which defender, which we needed in Mbemba, although his birth certificate's a question whether or not he's 20 or 28, no one really knows. So it's good. Mitrovic, speaking to a few people, I was talking to Matty Ryan actually about Mitrovic. He said he's very, very talented, but he's quick enough at the Premier League way. So he, and Wijnaldum, who looks a great pickup, but very excited about him. Jorginho, the Dutchman. So, yeah, there's steps in the right direction. There's the steps aren't needed for Newcastle. It's more leaps that are needed, and a series of them for them to excite the people of Newcastle once again and get the town alive. But at least it looks like it's going ever so slightly in the right direction, but a lot of work has to be done.
There's speculation about Fabrizio Colaccini and Moussa Sissoko, obviously two of the key players in the Newcastle lineup. Have you heard anything coming out of England that they could definitely be on the move, or do you have any inside information for us?
I heard more about Colaccini. It seems that he's been linked with Alan Pardew, who has brought one of his favourite players back to the Premier League in Johan Cabaye, one of my favourite players as well. I feel that he's playing for Palace, not against the Newcastle. But yeah, Colaccini, the drums are beating about him, but read an article the other day, so he wants to stay at Newcastle for life. So no one really knows. He had a few marital problems, which was the source of his queries a few years ago about wanting to go back to Argentina. Sissoko, the problem with Sissoko is after the time he spent at the club, he's a magnificent player, but you don't really know what his best position is still. Is it an attacking midfielder behind the striker? Is it a wide midfielder running up and down? Is it a defensive midfielder? It's not apparent, and that could cruel him in his chances of getting to a bigger club than Newcastle. So I hope we hang on to him because he's a very talented player, but I don't think it'll affect anything in a greater sense, but it'd be good to hang on to him.
And the fairy tale of the Premier League this upcoming season, what a story it is. AFC Bournemouth, they were forced into administration some 7.5 years ago on the verge of Football League obscurity, and now they're plying their trade in the top flight. What have you made of it, and what are their chances of avoiding the drop?
Yeah, blown away by the story. And, of course, we got into the story when they got promoted last year. Their young manager, Eddie Howe, is what wonders. He had a little sabbatical away from the club in the midst of this run. He went up to Burnley, didn't work out there, came back to Bournemouth and continued to the ascendancy towards where they are right now. I think it's amazing. And being caught, the stadium they play at capacity 11,700 will be one of the best atmospheres in all of England for the way that place is going to rock 19 times this season when the aristocracy, if you like, of English football come to visit. It's great for the league. It's great that there is hope for these clubs below them, that anything is possible. And the way that they've kind of invested in the squad with bringing in some Premier League experience, and they've got young players that are hungry to prove themselves at this level, it is a recipe for, I wouldn't say unmitigated success, but serviceable success, which means they stay in the Premier League for another year. I hope it happens for them because it's such a good story.
Yeah, I think we all hope it happens. And a number of the away, a number of the fans have spoken about the away trip that they'll be going to their tiny little stadium. So it'll be a great day out for the fans, and I'm sure they're going to lap it up whether they do go down or whether they stay up. But at the other end of the table, the relegation battle, who are you thinking that could be in the mix this season?
Sunderland, hopefully. not Newcastle.
It's a given.
A lot of people are worried about Villa. They're a risk. They're a great unknown because they signed about seven players out of the French league. So they could all work and they'd be magnificent. They'd do what Newcastle did a few seasons ago and make a run for Europe, or it can be an unmitigated disaster. So we'll wait and see with them. Leicester, there's a big watch on them. Norwich come up with a similar squad but took them down a few seasons ago. Watford, they've got money, they've got handy money behind them, and I reckon in January, if things aren't going well, they'll make a stack of changes their own by an Italian consortium, so they won't muck around those boys if things aren't going too well. West Ham should improve, you'd think, under Bilic. Have I missed anyone? No, I think...
So who are your three?
Five I mentioned that.
If you could pick three...
Sunderland, Norwich, Leicester.
There we have it. Okay, beautiful. And just a few quick fire questions to wrap up. The Premier League's notoriously known as a managerial merry-go-round. Who do you think will be the first manager to see the exit door?
Because it's carrying off a man's livelihood.
The fans love it.
Brendan Rodgers is going to be under the pump big style after the first six games, especially they've got a couple of games against big clubs. If they don't get off to a good start, they'll be very, very noisy about the fact that they're so frustrated with Liverpool fans. So I think he's the most under pressure going into the season. Not that I'm saying that the other 19 are not under pressure, because they all are, because it's that kind of environment. But yeah, Rodgers, big watch on him for the first 6 weeks.
Sounds like you're not going to name a definite one there, but that's okay. to the cream of the crop, player of the season, who's it going to be in your opinion?
Player of the season? Wayne Rooney.
Okay.
I'll just tuck that from nowhere, really. Yeah, Wayne Rooney with Mesut Ozil not too far away and Hazard to go well again. Okay. Yeah, those, out of those three, I'll just go Rooney because I think he'll love the fact that he's captain and the fact that the squad's been heavily invested in players that can service him where he needs to. And he's going to play up front as well, which is great for him. He doesn't need to worry about playing midfield. I went to a game last year in February. This year, I should say, where he played defensive midfield, and it was ridiculous watching Wayne Rooney near the halfway line with all these players in front of him, pinging 40-metre diagonal balls. Complete waste of time.
Yeah.
A bit like taking the Ferrari down to go and get the milk and paper in the morning. Not that I'm saying having a Ferrari is a constant dream, though. But, yeah, it was totally out of place, but now he's going to play striker again. Could explode once more.
Yeah, it was a bizarre move by Van Gaal, but it looks like he's definitely set for a striking role. And to the men that get all the headlines, the strikers, who do you think will top the scoring charts? Do you think it'll be a Rooney, or do you think it may be someone else?
Yeah, Rooney will go close with Aguero, because I just love Sergio Aguero. When he's fit, when he's sharp and he's fit and he's had the training that he needs under his belt, he's the best finisher, I would almost say, in world football, certainly in the Premier League. But the way he finds where the keeper can't get to on a regular basis is mind-boggling. So, yeah, I'll go Aguero, Rooney, and I'll chuck in Benteke just for a laugh.
Okay, the Liverpool fans would love that. And just a final one, mate. Obviously, people love the transfer news and the hype that's around it. Who do you think will end up being the best off-season recruit come May?
Oh, I've sent a fair few questions of these saying Christian Benteke. So aside from that, Petr Cech could prove extremely valuable. I know Mark Bosnich, my colleague at Fox Sports, is certain that a keeper's worth anywhere between 10 to 20 points a season with some of the stuff he can come up with. I'm talking top shelf keeper, and that's what Petr Cech is, so he could prove the difference, because the difference between Chelsea and Arsenal last season was 12 points. So Petr Cech could prove the best, and I'll keep an eye on a guy at Southampton as well, just for left field. George Clatter, Dutchman, signed out of the Eredivisie by our man, Ronnie Kay, who was sometimes mentioned on the Fox Football podcast, or his brother, Kenny Kay, at Southampton. Yeah, watch this guy. Had a fair bit of reading up on him, and he looks like he belongs in a league like this, so he could prove a very astute buy to Southampton.
Alrighty, Adam, thanks for joining us on Outside90.com. For your sake, let's hope that Newcastle United aren't stuck in the relegation mire for the majority of the season. And as always, mate, we look forward to your expert opinion and your banter in the studio with Robbie and Bozza for the upcoming season.
Looking forward to the start. Opening night from 9 p.m. on Fox Sports. So, get involved.
Cheers, beautiful. Thanks, Adam.